Welcome aboard, Captain.
Welcome back to the Star Trek Minute, the semi-daily podcast where we analyze and discuss Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, one minute at a time. I'm one of your co-hosts, Chris LaSalle.
That would make me your other co-host, David Soger.
Hey, David.
Hello.
Hello. So, yeah, we're here talking about minute 95 of The Search for Spock.
We are.
Yes, we are.
95.
Toy Story. That's all I got. 95, right? Is that or Lightning McQueen? Lots of 95 references in Pixar.
Oh, are there? I didn't know that.
What? You didn't know that? That's a thing. Isn't that a thing? Like A113 and 95 and...
I think you're making that up, man.
I swear, I'm not imagining it.
Well, I'm sure we could find out if we listen to the Toy Story minute. I think they're doing all the.
Yes.
They're doing all the.
One of our, what is it, a sister podcast, brother podcast, fellow podcast?
Actually, you are correct. 95 is a number that appears in several Pixar films. It is a reference of the year when Pixar's first movie, Toy Story, was released. In 1995.
There you go.
See? This has been your Pixar second on the Star Trek Minute.
So yes, head on over to moviesbyminutes.com. You find all our Movies by Minutes brothers and sisters out there. Plug complete. All right. Minute 95 of Star Trek III, The Search for Spock starts with Kirk waiting apprehensively for the Faltorpan ceremony results. It ends a minute later with T'Lar coming down from the altar, carried by Vulcan attendants.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All her buff Vulcan guys.
They're not. So, I got to be honest. I'm a little disappointed that they're not. They're just regular dudes in these red robes. That they're not the buff, you know, the buff dudes with the loincloths.
the shirtless guys. You mean the shirtless Vulcans?
Well, I mean they went so far as to put the maidens in those sheer outfits. Like they could have at least done the men.
That's true. Yeah, that would have been a little. That would have been a new side of Vulcan society that we hadn't seen before. I don't think we've seen. I'm gonna say topless Vulcans, shirtless Vulcans. Yes. Anyway, so I wanted to, jumping back to the beginning of the minute, it's really just Kirk pacing, and it's more of, actually, I think it was the last of the camera panning through results, watching everybody's reaction to things. But the music, I alluded to it on Monday, both last minute and this minute, there's just been a sequence of the violins just kind of climbing and climbing and climbing and, not a fan. It's very, I don't know. It doesn't fit. I know it's James Horner. We've been saying nothing but good things for, 200 plus episodes of this podcast, how much we love James Horner's score.
Right. Yeah.
This is in my opinion, a dud. It doesn't,
doesn't flow with you.
No, it doesn't tug at my heartstrings. Music is such a huge element to films. They could take a scene and make it ball, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, this doesn't do it, and it's too bad they don't do a either use Spock's theme, or some play on it. But I don't know. It's a bummer. Do you like it?
I don't like it necessarily. For the music choice, I think what I like about it is, to be honest, is the very end, which is the sort of like the crashing of the cymbals, and then it sort of fades to, because the scene changes too. So I think I'm so stuck on this ridiculous fading in and out of the people, and we finally get a really cool shot of, the temple from far away with the sun rising. And so I think for me at that moment, I think maybe the music is okay.
Yeah. Well, I like the end of it too, because it's over.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about this offline, and I hear a couple things in the background when we pull back to the, the shot of the temple with the sun rising in the background. It almost sounds like you hear a couple of birds in the background.
Yeah,
and I wasn't sure if it was music or if it was actually birds, but it sounds so much like birds.
I concur. I did not notice that until you pointed it out to me offline, so I had to go back and listen. And yeah, it's definitely it's birds, and probably distractingly, it sounds like jungle birds to me. You know what I mean? It sounds like we should be looking at some kind of jungle scene. It's not a, you know, lone vulture. Right, what kind of bird do you expect to see in this kind of, you know, deserty wasteland? Maybe a crow cawing. You know, that's the kind of bird you expect.
Right. Yeah.
It's too bad we don't. I mean, I love this shot that it goes with. I love the shot of the temple.
Oh, I think it looks fantastic. Totally agree with you.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It's amazing. Shot. I'd put that poster on my wall.
Mm.
You know. And I think this, having the jungle birds is a little like, where would that, I mean, it would be a nice touch if maybe you saw a little flock of birds or something like flying out way out in the distance or something.
Yeah.
That might have tied it together a little better. But then you'd be like, ooh, what's a Vulcan bird look like?
Yeah. Interesting thought there.
We had our creature, right? Our Star Trek creature, you know, Fifi Rebozo, yeah. the Klingon. I forget what the type of dog it was. And I think after seeing that, I'm like, I don't need to see any other creatures in this film.
Yeah, okay. I'm there with you on that one.
Yeah.
But I like the nice touch with the smoke coming out. So I'm assuming this is like a Pope thing. Like if it's white smoke that worked and dark smoke, it didn't work kind of thing. But we can't really tell. So.
Oh, I like that. I did see the smoke as well. And I was kind of wondering why I was seeing smoke. But that's a really good theory. Right? We did see when they arrived, there were, hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, down at the bottom of the stairs and lining the stairs. So they're not all up there, so maybe they're waiting to see, waiting to hear what the results were. That's I like that. And I still want to remind me, Dave, did we see, okay, so we know that they're the temple, the altar is out on the,
I know, keep saying temple.
I know, temple. I think the temple is the temple the building on the left?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
The one that looks like it's from Tron.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We don't get to see the inside of that, do we? I think we only have seen the altar outside.
Yeah, I think we only see the
Yeah, I want to see the inside of that thing. I'm just saying. I know it's not going to happen. I just want to. I think that would be. I mean, it's lit up. And I talked about it last time, but I really want to see the inside. Can you make that happen in some way?
I will do my best.
All right. we'll briefly just mention that Scott Carelli's Gong Guys is back.
Yes.
We'll just leave it at that.
This kind of is one of those, as you often say, one of those TV show moments, because it's got that orange light that I'm assuming is supposed to be the sun. It doesn't really look like the sun. It looks like an orange light behind like a sheet or something with a little bit of the smoke effect going on.
Oh, yeah. All right. So what is the deal with – okay. So you just triggered something for me.
What is the deal with that?
What's the deal with smoke on sets when there's nobody smoking? So right now I'm watching the series The Crown, which is, you know, Queen Elizabeth II, and some great performances in there. John Lithgow is Winston Churchill. I would say 80% of the sets in that show, they pump smoke into the sets to give it this. So every set like has this haze to it. And it's not supposed to be like, oh, there's a lot of people smoking in that room, so we got to pump it full of smoke. It's clearly just for some kind of dramatic effect. And and I'm just calling out The Crown because it happens a lot, but I know that it happens in other shows too, and it's a weird, I don't know if it's now because I've noticed it and now I can't unsee it when I see it. I'm like, well, if I was in a room with that much smoke in it, I'd be coughing, I'd be opening a window, like, what is going on in here, you know? Anyway, so that's what, just sorry, tangent.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like it. But look, sometimes
for
it can
now. Sometimes it looks cool, sometimes not so much.
Right. If I'm on a Klingon bridge and it's hazy, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I'm in Winston Churchill's office and he's not smoking a cigar, why the hell is it so hazy? I don't get it. Anyway. Moving on.
Yes.
So I probably about halfway through the minute, just past like the 40-second mark, we get this shot of a bunch of people in robes.
Yep.
And I want to bring it up just because this has bugged me since I saw the film in the theater. It's, you know, Spock has a robe on.
Yep.
But these priests have these robes on, and they got these funky hoodies, which are kind of cool.
Big giant cowls on.
Yeah, like real stiff hoodie, which we've seen from behind, because I know we commented on them when we saw those guys standing up in the background and they just had these crazy yep. hoods on, but now we can see them from behind. Those robes look so itchy to me.
Oh, you mean the fabric?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it looks like raw wool.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if I've been waiting to talk about it, but it's just, this is kind of the first time you get a glimpse of it. And I'm like, it just makes me want to scratch. It doesn't look soft and comfortable. It doesn't look like, you know, a bathrobe you get at a hotel.
No. Well, it's got all like the fuzz all over it.
Yeah, man. Get it. What is it? Those little pilling stones or whatever.
Get a lint brush.
Right. I guess is comfort not logical? I don't know.
But over-exuberance in my uniform is? That makes no sense.
Gold lettering and
yeah,
crazy patterns. All right. Yes, you're right. There's no way to rationalize it all.
So we get them turning around, and their heads inside the cowl things, they look funny. And I know we probably commented on before that they look funny, but they look
like
not logical.
Not real? The guy on the left looks like a mannequin.
Maybe he is.
Like, he doesn't look like the. I mean, the guy on the right is obviously a person, but the guy on the left looks like
he's just out of focus, I think.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. I don't know. I would, if I had access to that costume, I'd dress up like that as Halloween. I think I think the hood is very striking.
You know what it makes me think of?
I don't know if I want to know.
I know you don't want to know. So in Milwaukee. During the baseball games, they will have four people come out and they'll put on these giant, like, body suits with giant heads of, like, I think it's like the presidents or in Milwaukee, who is it? But it's like the sausage run. That's what these giant hoods make me think of, is like the giant heads that they I think in the Washington Nationals parks, I think they do the presidents. But
okay.
They come out and they run around the ballpark and they look silly and stuff like that. That's what they make me think of.
So the sausage run, is that what we're going to – now we have an episode title for this one.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What else we got? Everyone's – I guess we get the bridge crew. They're standing up. I think it's morning, right? The sun is coming up, so they've been there all night.
Mm.
It was nighttime when they – at least when it started, it was nighttime.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. And you get the procession now, I guess, coming with all the maidens and priestesses coming down the stairs.
But why are they all kneeling? And why is Kirk the only one not kneeling?
Kneeling? Oh, you think they were kneeling? I just thought they were sitting.
Oh, were they sitting?
I don't know. I don't know if I saw them kneeling.
No, I thought that it looked like they were kneeling. No, I guess they were sitting, yeah. That was my big question, was like, why are they kneeling? But I guess this is years and years of me going to church, and that movement is thinking of that they were kneeling.
Right.
My excuse my Catholic bringing, you know, upbringing.
Yeah, I'm just hearing everybody groan, like, oh, you know, that sound you make when you get up from a kneeling position after 20 minutes. Yeah, and I don't recall. So Talar, so we, you know, the priestesses come down the steps, and then Talar is being carried. We didn't see Talar come in, right? Because when they got there, Talar was already up on the up on the altar. So this is again, I feel like I'm channeling Scott Corelli. So, you know, where's the logic in this? Is this just more ceremony that she's a high priestess, and so she gets special?
She's old.
She's old.
She's the oldest of the, you know, the Vulcans, so she gets to be carried down.
Which would you rather see here, Dave? Would you rather see her being carried out, you know, on this, what do they call it? Is it a litter? What's the term for that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather she be carried out by these four buff Vulcans, or would you rather see a piece of technology where she was in a, you know, a floating...
No, absolutely. So based on this movie alone, with their lack of technology, I feel like that would have just been.
Right.
I feel like that would have just thrown this movie into chaos.
Plus,
I like the, you know, they're using the old school. You know, they're following the rituals, and maybe this is part of the ritual. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't like that these guys are very coordinated.
Oh, yeah, they're awful.
They're awful. Like, if I was her, I'd be, like, hanging on, like, feeling like I'm going to fall out one side because they're all uneven. It's like, don't they – shouldn't they – this thing should be, like, something they just have it – they have it down, and they keep her level and steady no matter what direction.
You know,
stairs.
Nimoy wanted to practice this 100 times, and, you know, they're like, we got it. We got the shot. Move on. We're not doing it again.
Yeah, they just know it's not good.
I sort of said this offline. I half expected to see Talal walking, you know, sitting in the chair smoking a cigarette.
That would be great. She did well. But actually, we don't know yet if she's successful. And
yeah, we don't know anything.
No, and one of the things that you almost miss it, but it was in the book, and in Vonda's book is like everybody's passing by. You know, Kirk is standing there like, what happened? What happened? You know, waiting for, and he can't get a read on anybody's face. Right? They're all Vulcan, and they're all impassive, and so they're not, you know, they're not like shaking their head like,
they're all Vulcan,
right? They're not didn't work, or like, you know, little secret thumbs up. You know, to Kirk on the sly. Nobody does that, so he has no idea yet if it was successful. So we get another. We're, you know, this minute ends on another cliffhanger. It's like, oh, what did what, you know, what happened? We just got a glimpse of someone in a robe.
Yeah, that's it.
And you get a brief glimpse of McCoy on his feet, right in the very last second. But that's it.
But you don't know if it worked, if he's still McCoy or McCoy Spock, or yeah, you don't get any kind of.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing is right.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I think that's all I had for this minute. What about you?
No, that's about it.
Yeah, I'm just, again, scratching myself because I keep thinking of the robes.
Little scratchy robes. Get you every time.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we wrap it up, and we'll come back on Friday and close out the week.
Absolutely, man.
All right, folks. Well, while you're waiting, why don't you go check us out on the social medias? We're all over the place: Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter. At Star Trek Minute is our handle there, and we'll be back again in a couple of days talking about minute 96 of The Search for Spock here at the Star Trek Minute. Bye now.
Goodbye.